drama at the place called Calvary. What was that? Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Kenneth Wong is our host. He's an author, teacher, and itinerant speaker. Well, today we welcome back Gary Weeks, and he'll be sharing from Luke's Gospel on the drama at the place called Calvary. And in just a few moments, Kenneth Wong will be here to formally introduce him, but before we get to that, I just want to remind you to stay tuned following the message, because I have information on how you can get the Gary Weeks CD called Eternity absolutely free.
Thank you very much, McDaniel. I'm really grateful and excited to be able to introduce Gary Weeks to you as our guest speaker for today. Gary was here recently to do a series of special ministry meetings and will be back again for a Bible camp a few months later. Gary was born on Prince Edward Island on Canada's East Coast. He grew up in Toronto and was saved at the age of 12 years. While in university, Gary and a friend began to sing at various functions to make money for flying lessons. A dual career of commercial pilot and pop singer followed, which took Gary to many parts of the world. While singing on a Greek cruise ship in the Mediterranean Sea in 1978, Gary visited Jerusalem where the Lord touched his heart in a deep way. He also met Claudette, his wife, on the ship. They've been married for 32 years and have three sons and one grandchild. For 30 years, Gary and Claudette have been commended workers, serving the Lord and His people in evangelism, Bible teaching, discipling new believers, and caring for the saints. He has ministered in different parts of the world, and we're really glad to be able to have him join us here on Times of Refreshing. And as a bonus, we will be able to hear him sing as well as speak to us.
He was laid in a manger many long years ago, born to a virgin. You ask, how can that be so? Well, he was more than a man, but what a man he was. Jesus is more than a man to me. What kind of man can calm an angry sea, control a sinful man like me, with only the power of his word? And what kind of man can cause the blind to see, welcome a wayward son like me? Jesus is more than a man to me. How can you say that you love him if you never even let it show? If he's never really made any difference to your plans and where you go? Maybe you've given up on him, but he'll never give up on you. And that's more than a man, more than any man would do. What kind of man can calm an angry sea, control a sinful man like me, with only the power of his word? And what kind of man can cause the blind to see, welcome a wayward son like me? Jesus is more than a man to me. Jesus is more than a man to me. Jesus, you're the Savior who set me free.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast. It's my great privilege to be with you here. I'd like to speak today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23. Many of you may realize and recognize that this is the chapter that speaks of the drama at the place called Calvary, the crucifixion. Quite often I hear people say that the Bible is outdated, it's dusty, musty, has no relevance to today, but all that tells me is that they have never read the Bible, because Luke chapter 23 in particular is very up-to-date, even though it's describing events that took place over 2,000 years ago. What do I mean by this? Well, you know that when you go to a function or an event, you anticipate who might be there. When you're at the function or event, you look around to notice who is there. And after you've left, you reflect back on who was there and who wasn't there. And so it is with the drama at the place called Calvary. Let's consider, first of all, who was not there on the day that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. And let's just clarify what we mean by crucifixion. The Lord Jesus was butchered. He was slaughtered. Crucifixion was the cruelest form of execution that mankind had devised. And when someone went out carrying their cross to be crucified, they were not going out to reform their lives. They were not going out to get education. They had said goodbye to their friends because they were going out to die. When the cross had finished its work, the victim impaled thereon was dead. And yet there were many people who would come by the cross and give a few minutes if they had it, but the disciples were not there because they were afraid. It's true that John was there with the mother of Jesus, Mary, but the other disciples had run for cover because we read earlier that all his disciples deserted him and fled. Well, who was there? First of all, there was a corrupt politician. The corrupt politician was the Roman governor whose name was Pontius Pilate. Why do I say that Pontius Pilate was a corrupt politician? Because Luke chapter 23 tells us that four times Pontius Pilate declared the Lord Jesus Christ to be innocent. And yet, at one point, seeking to please the crowd rather than to do the correct thing, the honest and honorable thing, Pontius Pilate said to the demonstrators, he said, "Jesus has done nothing worthy of death. I will therefore chastise or punish him and release him." It's only a corrupt politician that wants to punish an innocent man. Pontius Pilate declared Jesus to be innocent four times and then was willing to punish him, chastise him, in order to appease and to please the crowd. Tell me, do you know any corrupt politicians? Do you know any people that are willing to do the wrong thing in order to please people? In addition to corrupt politicians, Pontius Pilate and King Herod as well. King Herod is an interesting story because he wanted to see Jesus. He had wanted to see Jesus for a long time, but he wasn't interested in seeing Jesus for any spiritual reason. He had heard that Jesus performed miracles, and King Herod wanted to catch his act, so to speak. He just wanted to be entertained by Jesus for a time. Corrupt politicians. There were corrupt religious leaders in the drama at the place called Calvary. The chief priests and the scribes, the Jewish leaders, they vehemently accused Jesus, we read. They did everything they could to turn the minds and the hearts of the politicians against an innocent man, the Lord Jesus, and cried out on a number of occasions, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They even went so far as to say, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas." This name Barabbas is two words, Bar and Abbas. It means son of the Father. It's, in a sense, a generic name because it could be anyone. Each of us is a son or daughter of our Father. And Barabbas was released in place of the Lord Jesus Christ. Barabbas was a guilty sinner. He was a murderer, and he was guilty of insurrection or causing riots. And so the corrupt demonstrators appealing to the corrupt politicians and the corrupt religious leaders, were crying out for the release of a guilty man and for the crucifixion of an innocent man. The sad part of this story is that in spite of Pontius Pilate being warned by his wife to have nothing to do with this just man, Pontius Pilate gave sentence to the crowd that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for insurrection and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will. This is a case of the just for the unjust. Jesus was punished, Jesus the innocent, the just for the unjust. This statement is also found in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ, the innocent one, being punished for something he was not guilty of. And it speaks to us of the guilty one being released in spite of their guilt. Jesus is the innocent substitute, the just for the unjust. In addition to corrupt politicians, corrupt religious leaders, and corrupt demonstrators, there were also bystanders in the drama at the place called Calvary. There was a man named Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Simon, no doubt, had no idea that morning when he woke up that later that day he was actually going to carry the cross of Christ part way to the place called Calvary. Bystanders. There were also broken-hearted people. We read in verse 27 of Luke chapter 23, a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. And then we read of two criminals. Two criminals were taken to the place called Calvary as well. They were crucified with the Lord Jesus, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We also read of gamblers at the cross. Gamblers, the Roman soldiers who, in fulfillment of an earlier prophecy, divided his garments and cast lots. And then there were the curious and the indifferent. Verse 35, "And the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God.'" This is the language of unbelief. "If he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The curious and the indifferent. There were also those who had a few minutes to spare, and they sat down and watched him there. What interesting words to describe those who were observing the most monumental event of all time and eternity, the Son of God giving himself for sinners, Christ dying for the ungodly, and we read, "sitting down, they watched him there." And then there were mockers and scoffers. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And they put an inscription also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him. That word blasphemed simply means to strike out against God. The criminal blasphemed Jesus, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." Again, the language of unbelief. But then something wonderful happens in verse 40. "But the other criminal, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.'" Now this is the fifth declaration in the chapter of the innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each declaration comes from the mouth of an unbeliever, four times from Pontius Pilate, and now this fifth time from one of the criminals. So imagine, There's the drama. All of the players, the curious and the indifferent. We have those with us today. There are mockers and scoffers with us today. There are those of you that are broken-hearted at the very thought of the Lord Jesus being butchered and slaughtered. We have bystanders. We have corrupt demonstrators. And all the rest. Perhaps you're one of the gamblers. Those Roman soldiers were so near to the Lord Jesus they could hear him speak. So near, and yet so very far away. But something had happened in the heart and mind of this one criminal. He had a change of heart. He had a change of mind. He had a change of belief. And as a result, he had a change of eternity. I've often wondered what took place to cause the one criminal to soften in his heart. Because we read in another passage that he was throwing insults at the Lord Jesus along with his fellow criminal. It's a possibility that he heard the words, "He saved others." The curious and the indifferent had said of Jesus, the rulers had said of Jesus as well, "He saved others." It's possible that the one criminal heard those words. He saved others. It's possible that that criminal turned and looked at the Lord Jesus, covered in blood, some of it caked and dried, maybe dried spittle still on his face from the mocking and the scoffing, tufts of beard ripped and pulled from his face, suffering and agonizing along with the two criminals, one on his left and one on his right. It is possible, I suppose, that the criminal looked at Jesus and thought, "He doesn't look like the Lord, but he saved others. He doesn't sound like the Lord, but he saved others. He doesn't seem to be acting like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he saved others. If he saved others, perhaps he can save me." Because this criminal came to the realization that he was a guilty sinner receiving the death sentence that he deserved. But not only that, he also recognized that the Lord Jesus Christ was receiving the death sentence that he did not deserve. And then comes this monumental statement in verse 42. "Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.'" Notice he didn't say Jesus. He called him Lord. Jesus was true. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." But this criminal called him Lord. Do you know the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And dear listener, that includes you. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you think of the Lord Jesus Christ today, the time will come in the future, and perhaps very soon, when you will bow the knee and you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Back to our story. The criminal said, "Lord." He addressed him as Lord, which means in a short period of time, he came to believe that this man bleeding and dying beside him was in fact none other than the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. But he said, "Lord, remember me." He didn't say, "Lord, remember us." He was concerned about his own need at this point. He didn't have long to live, and he knew that, and he was concerned about his own need of a Savior. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." These words tell us that this criminal came to believe that Jesus Christ was the Lord. He came to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was an innocent man being punished wrongly. He also believed that Jesus would die and that Jesus would live again. He also believed that Jesus would live again as the King of his kingdom. And perhaps the best of all, he believed that Jesus would die, live again as the King of his kingdom, and that he had the power and authority to take him there with him. "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And then as I close, verse 43, Jesus said to him. Jesus did not say the following words to them. He said to him, "Assuredly," or "honestly," or "truly." In other words, what I am about to say to you is trustworthy, reliable. You can count on it. There's nothing uncertain or iffy about this. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you." Do you see the emphasis on the personal? "I say to you, today," not eventually, "today you will," not might be, "you will be," not could be, not should be, "today you will be with me in paradise." So what did that dying thief do to earn or deserve the forgiveness of his sins and the promise of eternal life? He simply repented. The word repent means to have a change of mind and heart. That was evident by what the man said. He repented and believed. He turned from his sin. He acknowledged his sinfulness. He turned from his sin to the Savior. And on the basis of repentance and faith in Christ alone, Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." Dear listener, I ask you, will you be with the Lord Jesus Christ? 5 seconds after your heart stops beating, where do you think you will be? You have a choice of 2 places. The first place is called the place of torment, otherwise known as hell. Or you have the much better option of the place prepared, heaven. Jesus said to his disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you." So your choices are the place of torment, that's where the devil wants you, or the place prepared, where God wants you. What will you do with the man on the middle cross at the place called Calvary? There are 5 things that God does not know. Shocking, isn't it? The first thing that God does not know is a sin that he doesn't hate. Secondly, God does not know a sinner that he doesn't love. The third thing that God does not know is a worse place than hell. Fourthly, God does not know any other way to be saved than through repentance and faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly, listen carefully, please. The 5th thing that God does not know is a better time to be saved than right now. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We're all following someone. I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. He has not only changed my life, he has changed my death, and he has changed my eternity. Dear friend, I would plead with you today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, repent of your sins and turn in faith and trust to the Christ who died for the ungodly, the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you as the just for the unjust.
Well, as we near the end of this Easter season, I encourage you to ponder anew. Where do you fit in to the drama at Calvary? What exactly do you believe as a result of the cross? Thank you for that good word, Gary. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Ken returns with another message. But as I mentioned at the top of the program, we have a special gift that we would like to send your way, just as a thank you for taking the time to share your comments on the program with us. Gary, in addition to being a minister of the word, is also a singer and songwriter. Now, you can get your free Gary Weeks CD simply by contacting us via SMS. The number is 94313813. Or you can send an email to info@timesofrefreshing.asia, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915714. Just give us your name and your address, and we'll get the CD Eternity to you as a thank you from us. I'm McDaniel Phillips. inviting you to join us again next time for Times of Refreshing.
Come to the Savior, where life in its fullness is free. And let Him forgive you and save you the way He saved me. He'll bring peace to your soul, and He'll make you His very own son. Then He'll give you a mansion forever when this life is done. Come to the Savior who hangs on Calvary's hill, and look upon Jesus who died there your debt to fulfill. And let His blood cleanse you from all of your bondage to sin. And how happy you'll be when the peace of Jesus comes in. The Savior who waits with arms open wide. He waits by the sheepfold to welcome each lost sheep inside. And whatever your guilt and your shame, you can leave it behind, because Jesus took all of your sin on the cross when He died. Come to the Savior where life in its fullness is free.